वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः गोविंदाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 Chapter 21st, entitled Explanation of the Vedic Path. We're taking the shloka number 1, verse 1. Shri Bhagwan Uvacha Ya etan matpatho hitva Bhakti nyan kriya atmakan शूद्रान् कामं छले प्राणे जुषन्तः संसरन्ति ते श्री भगवान् उवाच य एतान् मत्पथो हित्वा भक्ति ज्ञान क्रिय आत्मकान् शूद्रान् कामं छले प्राणे जुषन्तः संस्रतन्ति ते श्री भगवान् उवाच य एतान् मत्पथो हित्वा भक्ति ज्ञान क्रिय आत्मका शूद्रान् कामां छले प्राणे जुषन्तः संसरन्ति ते श्री भगवान् उवाच य एतान् मत्पथो हित्वा भक्ति ज्ञानक्रियात्मकान् शूद्रन् कामां छले प्राणे निशन्त संसरन्ति ते श्री भगवान् उवाच य एतान् मत्पथो हित्वा भक्ति ज्ञान क्रियात्मकान् शूद्रान् कामां छले प्राणे युषन्तः संसरन्ति ते श्री भगवान् उवाच य एतान् मत्पथो हित्वा भक्ति ज्ञान क्रियात्मकान् शूद्रान् कामां छले प्राणे युषन्तः संसरन्ति ते माताजी श्री भगवान् उवाच Yetan matapato hitva bhakti jnan kriyatmakan shudran kama mishale praner nyushanta samsarantite. Shri Bhagwan Uvacha. The Supreme Personality of God had said, Ye, those who, Etan, these, Mat Pataha, means for achieving me, Hitva, giving up, Bhakti, devotional service, Nyan, analytical philosophy, Kriya, regulated work, Atmakan, consisting of Shudran, insignificant, Kaman, sense gratification, Chale, by the flickering, Pranhe, senses, Chushantaha, cultivating, Samsaranti, undergo material existence, Te, they. Translation. The Supreme Personality of God had said, those who give up these methods for achieving me, which consist of devotional service, analytic philosophy, and regulated execution of prescribed duties, and instead being moved by the material senses, cultivate insignificant sense gratification, certainly undergo the continual cycle of material existence. Purport, the disciples of His Divine Grace, Shri A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. As clearly explained by Lord Krishna in the previous chapters, philosophical analysis and also the performance of prescribed duties are ultimately meant for achieving Krishna consciousness or pure love of God. Devotional service based on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord directly engages the conditioned soul in the Lord's loving service and thus is the most efficient means of achieving the Lord. All three processes, however, share a common goal, Krishna consciousness. Now the Lord describes those who, being completely absorbed in material sense gratification, do not adopt any authorized means to achieve the Lord's mercy. Currently, hundreds of millions of unfortunate human beings fit squarely into this category and, as described here, perpetually suffer the bondage of material existence. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamhayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamlam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamasya Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamascha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaurtvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye
वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभयेवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
श्री भगवान उवाच येतान् मतपतो हित्वा भक्ति ज्ञान क्रियात्मकान् शूद्रान् कामांश्छले प्राणेर् जुषन्तः संसरन्ति ते। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड सेड दोज़ हू गिव अप दीज मेथड्स फॉर अचीविंग मी विच कंसिस्ट ऑफ डिवोशनल सर्विस एनालिटिक philosophy and regulated execution of prescribed duties, and instead being moved by the material senses cultivates insignificant sense gratification, certainly undergo the continual cycle of material existence. Hare Krishna. So we are continuing the section of Uddhav Gita, and this is a new chapter. We are continuing for the previous verse itself in the previous chapter, where Lord Krishna is instructing Uddhav in chapter 19. The last verse reads, that's chapter 20th. Where the last verse reads, persons who seriously follow these methods of achieving me, which I have personally taught, attain freedom from illusion. And upon reaching my personal abode, they perfectly understand the absolute truth. So here the Lord has described the result for the people or the persons who are following the methods that the Lord has given. And he continues the next chapter, that is explanation of the Vedic path, by first describing the result for people who are not going to take up these processes. And who basically are these people? So it says, dharmasya tatvam hitam guhayam mahajan yeno gatas supanta. The conclusions of the Vedic scriptures are very difficult to understand. It's easy to follow the mahajans or the great souls who have taken to the progressive path of Vedic knowledge. In Chaitanya Bhagavat is described that how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he begins his Sankirtan movement, decides to go to East Bengal to visit his ancestral home. And there he goes with many of his students. He's still in the role of a scholar, a pandit. And there, in the role of a pandit, he gives many discourses, conducts many debates, and collects many students. And these students, enchanted by the Lord's beauty and his exposition of the Vedic truths, offer him gifts in return. The Lord, accepting these gifts, is resting on the banks of Padmavati. And now is contemplating that he will go back to Navdeep. At that time, Shri Vrindavan Das Thakur describes that there is one very learned pandit of the name Tapan Mishra. And he describes his condition. He says, ए समय एक सुकृति ब्राह्मण अतिसार ग्राही नाम मिश्रा तपन। सो एट दैट टाइम देयर इज अ ब्राह्मण हु इज वेरी पायस एंड ही इज बीन डिस्क्राइब्ड एज सार ग्राही। इंटरेस्टिंगली भक्ति सिद्धांत श्री ठाकुर कोट्स द गरुड पुराण टू डिस्क्राइब व्हाट एग्जैक्टली अ सार ग्राही इज। वेरी नाइस डेफिनेशन एंड वी जस्ट गो थ्रू दैट। इट इज सेड दैट आउट ऑफ थाउजेंड्स ऑफ ब्राह्मणस one is qualified to perform sacrifices, and out of many thousands of such qualified brahmanas, expert in sacrificial offerings, one learned Brahman may have passed beyond all Vedic knowledge. He is considered the best among all these Brahmins. And yet, out of thousands of such Brahmanas who have surpassed Vedic knowledge, one person may be a Vishnu Bhakt. And he is most famous. Out of many thousands of such Vaishnavas, one who is completely fixed in the service of Lord Krishna is most famous. Such a person is called Sargrahi or Swan-like. So this is the status of Tapan Mishra. He is a Sargrahi Vaishnav. But what is his dilemma? Now, though he is a Sargrahi Vaishnav and he is taken to the process of Vishnu Bhakti, he is still in dilemma. He is still restless. Sadhya sadhana tattva nirupite nare hena jana nahi tatha jigyasi beyare. He was confused about the goal of life and the means of attaining it. Moreover, he could not find anyone to clear his confusion. So, he's a Sargrahi Vaishnava. He's continuously chanting the names of Krishna. That is what his status has been described. Day and night he is chanting the names of Krishna. Yet he is restless in his mind. And why is he restless? This is what Vrindavan Thakur is describing here. He is confused and restless because he does not know the goal of life and the means of attaining it. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur writes in the purport here, without sadhana one can never achieve peace of mind. The purport of this statement is that chanting the holy names, the basis of pleasing Krishna, is the only sadhana. And until one develops love for Krishna, which is the only sadhya, achieving perfection in sadhana is difficult and incomplete. So I am taking this section just because the title of this chapter is Explanation of the Vedic Path. And here we have Tapan Mishra, who is confused about the Vedic path. Though he has taken to the perfect process of sadhana, he is still confused what the goal of this Vedic path is, what the goal of life is. And though he is chanting the names of Krishna, he is still restless in his heart. So, being in such a state, he fervently prays to the Lord, but still finds no answer. So one day when the Lord is in East Bengal and he's in this confused state of mind, a very effulgent Brahmin appears in his dream. And he says to Tapan Mishra, "Oh Tapan Mishra, please do not be restless. Go to Nimai Pandit and he will answer all your doubts. Please go to him so that you will achieve peace of mind." And when then this Tapan Mishra wakes up from this dream, he's very ecstatic and starts crying. And immediately searches out for where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. At this time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is on the banks of Padmavati, surrounded by these students who are offering him gifts. And the Lord is just contemplating to go back to Navdeep. At that time, Sri Tapan Mishra comes in this assembly and in front of all offers his obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and addresses him thus, that, "Oh my Lord, please, I am confused. I do not know what the goal of Vedic life is, what the Vedas mean. Please clear my doubts." Atev grehe tumi Krishna bhajagiya kutinati parihari ekanta hoya. Before the Lord replies, Tapan Mishra again is stating his state of mind. Vishadi sukamore chitte nahi bhaye. I do not find any pleasure in material sense enjoyment. Therefore, O merciful Lord, please tell me how I can find relief. So he is saying that he has no attachment for material sense gratification. Still, he is not able to achieve the goal of life. So please guide me how I am supposed to do that. And then the Lord is replying. Therefore, he says to Tapan Mishra, "My dear Tapan Mishra, do not be bewildered thus." And he starts describing the various avatars of the Lord and how the Lord in each yuga gives the different processes. And then he quotes, "Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Kaivalam, Kalo Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Nasti, Eva Gatir Anyatha." That how in Kali Yuga, the process for achieving the goal of life is chanting of the holy names of Krishna. and then makes Tapan Mishra the first recipient of this Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Tapan Mishra becomes the first fortunate person to directly receive this Hare Krishna Mahamantra from the lotus lips of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has still not inaugurated his Sankirtan movement. He has still not made it very obvious. He still not propagated the Yoga Dharma. But seeing the sincerity and eagerness of Tapan Mishra, he discloses this truth to him. And he tells, please go back to your home and worship Lord Krishna with full attention, giving up all duplicity. So he says, Atev grahe tumi Krishna bhajagiya, kutinati parihari ekanta hoiya. So he says him two things. He's already chanting the names of Krishna, but he has no understanding or appreciation of the Mahamantra. This is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually bestows upon him. And then gives him the second instruction. That kutinati parihari ekanta hoiya. With full attention and giving up all duplicity. So, in his commentary, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sri Thakur is actually explaining the meaning of kutinati or duplicity. And this is what he states. The cheating propensity is also known as kutinati. In other words, if one gives up the improper desire to cultivate sadhanas that bestow the four deceitful objects of dharma, artha, kama and moksha as the goal of life and takes undeviating shelter of the holy names of Krishna, then and then only can he awaken love for Krishna. The sense enjoyers, the fruitive workers, yogis and mental speculators do not endeavor to obtain love for Krishna. They are busy gratifying their own temporary senses. If such insignificant desires are prominent in one's heart, then the taste for chanting the names of Krishna will not awaken. So he is describing duplicity as a desire to pursue the sadhanas that bestow dharma, earth, kama and moksha. So this section of Uddhav Gita, which starts from chapter 6 and ends on chapter 29 of the 11th canto, actually constitutes the most confidential knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. And this is what Prabhupada is saying. I'm not quoting. I'm just saying what Prabhupada is repeating. And he states that in the section of the 4th chapter of the 3rd canto. It's very interesting that how Tapan Mishra is given, bestowed this knowledge, and how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually glorifies Uddhava. To really appreciate what this section is all about, we'll have to understand the character of Uddhava before we understand the instructions that are being imparted by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. It is very interesting also to note that how Shukdev Goswami is using Uddhava to actually introduce Lord Krishna to the hearers of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we just get a glimpse of Krishna, where the battle of Kurukshetra has just ended, and Krishna comes into the picture to rescue Parikshit Maharaj, who's in the womb of Uttara. So, that's a bit that's been described about Krishna and how Krishna returns back to Dwarka. And in the second canto, there is literally no mention about Krishna. It is in the third canto that the first introduction to Krishna actually is presented. And who becomes the medium of presenting this? It is none other than Uddhava. So, we have Uddhav who is meeting Vidur in Vrindavan. And the state of Uddhav is described when he is meeting Vrindavan. When they are meeting Vidur in Vrindavan. So, Uddhav actually is introduced as a cousin of Krishna. He's supposed to be, in some Puranas it is said, he's supposed to be the son of one of the brothers of Vasudev. In that sense, he's the cousin of Uddhav. And he's a disciple of Brihaspati. Now, he is born actually in the middle part of Bharat, Bharatvarsh. That should be approximately somewhere in Madhya Pradesh. So technically his complexion is supposed to be whitish. But he is born with the blackest complexion. And the acharyas give the explanation. That's because he's absorbed, even before his birth, in the thoughts of Krishna. That is why he acquires the complexion of Krishna. And in this way, Uddhava becomes the medium of actually introducing Krishna, because he is the most qualified person to actually introduce Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vallabh Bhatt actually comes to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And he glorifies Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that how he is an empowered preacher of the holy names of Krishna. And definitely he has been bestowed by the mercy of Krishna. And after glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a very humble and meek way, starts glorifying his devotees. So first he glorifies Advaita Acharya, then Nityananda Prabhu, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramanand Rai. And then when he starts glorifying Sarup Damodar, he glorifies Sarup Damodar by actually glorifying Uddhava. And he says, Aishwarya Jnana Hoite Kevala Bhava Pradhan Prithvite Bhakta Nahi Uddhava Saman. Completely distinct from love of Krishna in opulence, pure love of Krishna is on the highest level. On the surface of the world, there is no devotee greater than Uddhava. And this, Uddhava desires to take on his head the dust of the gopis, lotus feet. I have learned about all these transcendental loving affairs of Lord Krishna from Sarup Damodar. So this is very interesting. Well, of course, Lord Krishna himself also glorifies Uddhava when he says, no one is as dear to me as Uddhava, not even Lord Sankarshan, Lord Shiva, or even Lakshmi for that matter. So the point arises, why is Uddhava being glorified so much? Interestingly, Srila Prabhupada also glorifies the instructions that we are going through in this Uddhava Gita by glorifying Uddhava. And he glorifies Uddhava in very different ways. But mainly what he's doing, he's glorifying the status of Uddhava's devotional service. And what is that status? So in the purport, in the fourth chapter, Prabhupada is mentioning that Uddhava actually is bestowed this knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, which has been bestowed upon Lord Brahma by Lord Krishna, but it has not been fully understood by Brahma. If someone has really understood the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, it is Uddhava. So that is the status of Uddhava, right? So it is the same Chatushloki Bhagavatam that has been described to Brahma, but it has been fully understood by Uddhava. And what is the reason for that? Because Srila Prabhupada writes that Sri Uddhava's actual life is the direct symbol of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam. He is the Bhagavat personified. And why is that? Because Uddhava has been awakened to the stage of everlasting feeling of separation in the Lord's transcendental love. So the acharyas bring out this point, and Srila Vaishnavacharya Thakur also, in his explanation of the Chatushloki Bhagavatam, describes the Chatushloki Bhagavatam in the feelings of separation of love of Godhead. That is the right way of understanding Srimad Bhagavatam. And because Uddhava is the only devotee at that time in Dwarka who is competent to appreciate and also assimilate this feelings of separation, Krishna bestows this most confidential aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam to Uddhava. So, Lord Krishna actually tells Uddhava, you know, that he's going to end his pastimes. So he should go to Badrika Ashram. But Uddhava is not actually able to take this instruction of Lord Krishna out of his love for Krishna. So Lord Krishna actually proceeds to Prabhashetra. And he has instructed Uddhava already that he should go to Badrika Ashram. But Uddhava is not just able to do that. Instead of going to Badrika Ashram, he starts following Krishna to Prabhat Kshetra. So in one sense, he disobeys the instructions of Lord Krishna. But that is just out of pure love. And Krishna actually observes this, that Uddhava is following him. He does not tell him anything. On reaching Prabhat Kshetra, Lord Krishna then rests behind the Ashwatha tree and is there in a relaxed position. At that time, Maitreya Muni, out of his own fortune, comes to that place. But Lord Krishna already is focused on Uddhava, who is actually sitting at his lotus feet. And very lovingly, Lord Krishna looks upon Uddhava. And he says to Uddhava, Sadhu. Yeah. And the Acharya's comment, you know, Sadhu actually means a person who is successful. It comes from the word Sadha, one who has actually obtained the goal of life. So Krishna then says to Uddhava, you are Sadhu, you have actually obtained the goal of life. In the sense that you have given up material sense gratification and you have become attached to my lotus feet. And therefore, I will bestow my knowledge upon you. So anyone who wants to really be successful in life should really take shelter of the Uddhava Gita. These are the instructions that Lord Krishna is actually going to bestow upon him. So in the third canto, we have Shukdev Goswami introducing Krishna through the medium of Uddhava. But he does not actually enunciate the instructions or the confidential instructions that Krishna has actually imparted to Uddhava there. It is only after a detailed description of Krishna's character in the 10th canto, when the reader can appreciate the position of Krishna, does he actually give the instruction in complete. So one can really appreciate a relation, assimilate the instructions that are going to follow. So here, the Lord is saying thus, evam tri loka guruna sandishta shabda yonina badrashramam asadhya harimje samadhina. So here, the Acharyas give a very beautiful commentary on what exactly Lord Krishna is imparting Uddhava. So the Lord has been addressed here as Shabdyonina, that he is the womb from which the Vedic knowledge has been born. Yeah, Yonina means the womb, and here Shabd means the Vedic instructions. Now Kavi Karnapurna gives a very interesting definition of what Kavya is or what poetry is. And we can appreciate how actually Shukdev Goswami is using poetry in actually describing the nuances of the instructions of Sri Krishna. So Kavi Karnapurna in his Alankar Kaustubh, he says, the essence of all poetry is called Dhvani. And Dhvani has been described as not, so the poem is just not verses and rhyme, you know. Usually we think, oh, there is rhyming and there is meter, so that's poetry. He says, no, that's the external form of poetry. The essence of poetry is Dhvani. And what is this Dhvani? Dhvani is something which expresses more than what the words are actually conveying on the literal platform or externally. It actually is a reverberation or an echo, which is unspoken, but is communicated not only in terms of what it means, but also in imparting the emotions that it conveys. So this is what actually Shri Krishna is doing here. That Shukdev Goswami is, you know, actually explaining what is happening between Krishna and Uddhava. So when he's saying Shabda Yonina, what he's actually imparting is, or he's conveying is, that not only is Krishna the origin of all Vedas, but he is much more beyond that. Indirectly echoing the feeling, this is the one unspoken dhvani that he is conveying, that it's not that he's only the womb of the Vedas, but he's much beyond that. Right? Because the Vedas are born of him, definitely he's beyond the Vedas. That is what the meaning is. The second meaning that is conveyed is that Uddhava is fit to receive even that which is beyond the Vedas. That is his caliber. And not only is he fit to receive, the third unspoken aspect is, the dhvani is, that he is also fit to convey this message to none other than Nar Narayan and the sages in Bhadrika Ashram. Because that was the whole idea of Lord Krishna in instructing Uddhava that you should go to Bhadrika Ashram. He wanted Uddhava to go to Bhadrika Ashram because he says that I have not been there, though I have been everywhere. You know, he's gone to the heavens, he's gone beyond the universal coverings to meet Mahavishnu, and he's been to all places, but he's not been to Bhadrika Ashram. And he's feeling for the sages there who are meditating on him, and even for the Rishi Nar Narayan. So he says, this time I have not been able to go. So Uddhava, you please go there and convey this message to them. So we can really appreciate the caliber of Uddhava. Uddhava is not only going to convey this message, he has not only received this confidential message from Sri Krishna, but he is also of the caliber to convey this message to none other than Nar Narayan Rishis and the sages meditating in Bhadrika Ashram. And why is that so? Because Uddhava is in this mood of the love of separation of Krishna. And that can be really appreciated because, you know, Krishna has decided that he is going to perform his unwinding pastimes here, and he decides to take everyone along. But he does not take Uddhava. He does not take Uddhava for manifold reasons. But one of the reasons is that he is actually increasing his mood of separation from Krishna. So here, Uddhava already, who is situated in, who is already competent to understand and appreciate this mood of separation, because he actually observes this mood when he is sent to Vrindavan by Krishna, right? He observes Srimati Radharani and the gopis in the mood of separation, and he is competent to understand. But the Lord actually bestows his true mercy by increasing his mood of separation here, by saying that I am going to unwind my pastimes here, but you please stay here and give on this message. So Uddhava's mood of separation increases in the sense that he knows that Krishna is going to unwind his pastimes. So there is an anticipation of separation. There is no immediate separation, but there is an anticipation of separation. And that increases his ecstasy many more folds. And it is in this state that Krishna imparts this confidential knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam to Uddhava. And that is why he is able to assimilate this to a greater extent even than what Sri Brahma, or to the fact Brahma has, he conveys this to Narad Muni, even more than Narad Muni. Right? And that's why these chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the 11th canto, the Uddhav Gita, becomes the most confidential knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one can appreciate that by appreciating the character of Uddhava, and then one can appreciate what the instructions are being imparted here. So this is what the acharyas actually explain. And what is that confidential knowledge? So Srila Prabhupada clarifies. He clarifies by giving an explanation to the words that have been used in the 32nd verse, I think, of the 4th chapter, where he says the words Parmam Stitim, or rather the verses before that, he says the word Parmam Stitim are very significant in this verse. The Lord's transcendental situation was not even spoken of to Brahma when the 4 verses of Srimad Bhagavatam were explained. This transcendental situation compromises his dealings with the devotees engaged in transcendental loving service as exhibited at Dwarka and Vrindavan. So this was this aspect that was not communicated to Brahma. And this is the aspect that is being communicated to Uddhava here. That is why these chapters of Uddhav Gita really become essential for the followers of Gaudiya Vaishnav to really assimilate the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. And So we can appreciate the very fact, and you know, you can also understand that how Shukdev Goswami has used this instance of meeting Vidur, of Vidur and Uddhava, to communicate a sketch, a brief sketch of Krishna's character. And you can also at the same time appreciate Uddhava's mood at that time. So when Uddhava and Vidur meet, and Vidur actually asks about the position of Krishna and his family, the condition of Krishna and his family from Vidur, from Uddhava. Uddhava and Vidur both know at this point of time that the Lord has unwind his pastimes, has taken all his devotees along with him. But it's more of a psychological exchange that is taking place. So Uddhava does not directly answer that. Rather, he goes in circles. And why does that? Because he is already so much overwhelmed by the passing of the Lord, he does not want to communicate this not so very good news to Vidur immediately. And that's why he starts describing the whole pastime of Lord Krishna from his birth. He uses this opportunity to describe, to give a brief sketch of Krishna's life or Krishna's pastimes on this world. And then slowly he comes to the point of Krishna's disappearance. So both the mood and the instructions have been just sketched briefly by Shukdev Goswami in the third canto. But the essence of these instructions have been communicated in the 11th canto. Now, basically, these verses, this is the first verse and the second verse, is the commentary, because Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra. So these two verses, the first and second verses, basically are commentary on the Vedanta Sutras 3.411 and 3.415. And they basically talk about this, so we can appreciate what it is all about. So the 11th verse there in the Vedanta Sutra, in the fourth part of the third chapter, is saying, Bhakti and karma give different results, like the division of 100 coins received on selling a cow and a goat. This is the sutra. Okay? So the sutra is, Bhakti and karma give different results, like the division of 100 coins received on selling a cow and goat. And Baldev Vidyabhushan actually comments, and he says what it technically means, just like if a person sells a cow and a goat and he gets 100 coins. So how are you supposed to understand what is the value of the cow and what is the value of a goat? So he says, so what it actually implies is that 90 coins are basically for the cow and 10 coins are for the goat. So he says, finally the goal of life is definitely achieved by the combination of karma, jnana and bhakti. But what is prominent in that is bhakti. So that is how one is supposed to understand that. That the prominence is of bhakti, though definitely karma and jnana do also in some way assist one to progress in the path of bhakti, but the essence of the whole aspect is performance of devotional service. And the 15th verse is saying, just this is the sutra, acting as you please. Right? This is the sutra. So that is actually coming in the second verse that is about to follow. So the second verse here just says, steadiness in one's own position is declared to be actual piety, whereas deviation from one's position is considered impiety. In this way, the two are definitely ascertained. So even in the previous chapter, it has been described that how one is supposed to rise above piety and impiety. And here the second verse is going to, the first and this combination of the first and second verse, which describes that how a person who is situated on the transcendental platform acts beyond piety and impiety. Yeah. So this can be really confusing, because Krishna before this has described to Uddhava what is Varnashram Dharma, then he describes what is pure devotional service, and now he is describing how a person situated in pure devotional service acts beyond the rules of dharma. Yeah, so that is going to come actually in the verse tomorrow, so I won't really touch that. But this is what has been described here. But I just focus on the first verse. Now the first verse actually says that who will not be able to take this path of devotional service and analytic philosophy and regulated execution. Those who are moved by the material senses and cultivate insignificant sense gratification, they will not be able to take up this process. And certainly they will undergo the continual cycle of material existence. So if you see in Srimad Bhagavatam, any of the chapters that you take, it is through this lens that one is supposed to actually appreciate what Srimad Bhagavatam is. And when we hear the commentaries of the Vaishnava Acharyas who are actually following in the footsteps of Uddhava in this mood of separation, you can actually bring out the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam, which even the other Vaishnava Acharyas cannot actually bring. Because the other Vaishnava Acharyas are more vicharatmika. You know, they tend to comment on the Vedanta Sutra through the process of devotional service, but they really miss out on the rasa tattva. And that is the forte of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas. Their focus is mainly the rasa tattva, and the vichar becomes secondary. While the other Vaishnava Acharyas, the vichar or the philosophical aspect is more prominent compared to the rasa aspect. And we'll just try to appreciate this, what is being mentioned here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, by taking one of the pastimes. There are many pastimes, but I'm just choosing the pastime of Bali Maharaj. And we can appreciate how the Vaishnava Acharyas actually bring out the beauty of the whole pastime. So we have Bali Maharaj here who is there performing the sacrifice on the banks of Narmada, that's Bharuch. And we have Vamandev, who has just entered this sacrificial arena. And Lord Vamandev is looking at Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj is looking at Vamandev. And he's immediately enchanted by the beauty of Vamandev. Just being enchanted by his beauty, his heart starts melting. And as soon as Vamandev approaches there in the form of a Brahmin, of course, Vamandev is also thinking many more things, because he knows why he has come. Right? He knows his intention. Bali Maharaj is not aware of the intention of Vamandev. He is just seeing him as a Brahmana. But he is enchanted by the beauty of Vamandev. So he says, "Yes, my dear Brahman, please ask whatever you want." And, Vamandev says, no, it's not good for a Brahman to ask more than what is required, you know. So just give me 2 steps of the land. And, actually Bali Maharaj is very surprised, and he starts inciting, encouraging Vamandev. No, you can ask more. You can ask more, he says. You can ask more. Why asking for 2 steps? If you want, I can give a complete island. All right? I can give you a complete planet, and you're just asking 2 steps from me. So, Bali Maharaj says, no, that's not befitting a Brahmin. So you just give me 2 steps. And we know what happens later. And Bali Maharaj is caught in a fix, because he promises 3 pieces of land, 3 footsteps of land, and Bali Maharaj has taken everything just by his 2 footsteps. So Bali Maharaj is in bewilderment, and he does not know what to do. And his anxiety reaches to peak. Right? And if you see the 22nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 8th canto, this is the second verse. And in the first verse, Prabhupada is giving no purport. But if you read the summary carefully, you will understand how Prabhupada actually gives the purport to the first verse in the summary itself. And then you can really appreciate the second verse. So we'll just take the second verse and just take 5 minutes, and we'll be done with that. The second verse, it's saying, Sri Balir Uvacha, Yadi Uttam Shloka Bhavana Mame Ritam, Vacho Vyalikam Surya Varya Manyate, Kromi Ritam Tanna Bhaveta Palambanam Padam Tirityam Kuru Shirshani Menajam. So he says here, Bali Maharaj is addressing Lord Vamandev here. Bali Maharaj said, "O best of personality of Godhead, most worshipable for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please, therefore, place your 3rd lotus footstep on my head." Very interesting. Now, Bali Maharaj is actually addressing the Lord as Uttama Shloka. But the Vaishnava Acharyas give a very beautiful explanation of what is actually transpiring between Bali Maharaj and Vamandev. And it's exactly through the eyes of what what the Lord is actually trying to instruct here. That one who is actually endeavoring to cultivate insignificant sense gratification can never reach the goal of life. Yeah. That is what he's also, even the Lord is instructing Tapan Mishra, that you are fortunate because you have given up sense gratification, but you need something much more. Right? He's saying, Tapan Mishra, you go to Varanasi and I'll expound to you what exactly it is. So it is in those instructions that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually elaborates on what he's hinted to Sri Tapan Mishra here. And we can see how the Vaishnava Acharyas are actually presenting all the pastimes through this lens. Yeah. So, externally, even Jayadev Goswami says and he glorifies how Vamandev has actually cheated Bali Maharaj. Even in the other Puranas, it is glorified. How Vamandev has cheated Bali Maharaj. Even in other Puranas, it is glorified that how actually Vamandev comes to the rescue of Indra. Right? But now just see how the Vaishnava Acharyas are actually commenting on this and presenting the side of Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj, though he is saying the Lord as Uttama Shloka, he is actually being sarcastic because he is in a ras. Yeah. See, that's the whole point. The Vaishnava Acharyas take the rasa tattva as prominent and give a commentary rather than the vichar aspect of what is going on. So Bali Maharaj is he's like a Danvir, he's in Viraras with the Lord. So actually he's being sarcastic to the Lord. He's not glorifying the Lord by telling him his Uttama Shlok. He's actually being sarcastic and he's saying, you are glorified by choicest of verses, but now how do you want to be glorified? First you came as a beggar to me. You came as a Brahman, a beggar. You wanted two steps, right? And then you pretended, no, that I'm a Brahman, I should not, ask more than what is required from a Brahman. And then you became a cheater. You cheated me. You came as a small person, a small dwarf Brahman, and then you took such a huge form. Alright? So what do you want to be glorified? As a beggar? As a cheater? In what words do you want to be glorified? So actually, by saying Uttama Shloka, he's actually, pulling a sarcasm towards the Lord. And then he says, yes, you are a cheater, but you have not cheated me. Whom have you cheated? You have actually cheated Indra. Yeah. So externally it appears that Indra has been favored by Bali Maharaj. And he has been given back the heavenly planets which had been taken away by Bali Maharaj. But Bali Maharaj says, no. You have not cheated me. You have cheated Indra. Why have you cheated him? Because you have given him external flickering sense gratification. That is what the heavenly planets offer. Yeah, so the demigods, though they are devotees of the Lord, they are not pure devotees because they still have this desire of sense gratification. He says, but you have bestowed upon me unflinching devotion to your lotus feet. And I can appreciate this. Why? Because you have bounded me by these ropes. So Garud immediately could understand the gesture of Vamandev. Vamandev just looked at Garud and Garud knew that I am supposed to bound Bali Maharaj. Why? Because he has failed to keep his promise. And because he has failed to keep his promise, he has become a defaulter. He has become a culprit. And a culprit should be punished. And so immediately, by the Varun Pash, Bali Maharaj is bound. But how does Bali Maharaj take this? Now, because this devotional service has arisen within his heart, and Prabhupada gives a very beautiful understanding for this. He says, how has this devotional service, arisen within his heart? He's a disciple of Shukracharya. Shukracharya is a Brahman, but he's not a pure devotee of the Lord. Says, in the first verse to this, he says, because Bali Maharaj was contemplating upon his ancestors and the determination of his ancestors. So his ancestors included Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, definitely he thought about them and their dealings with Vishnu. But his mind came and stopped on the determination of Prahlad Maharaj. And this is what Prabhupada actually clarifies in the summary of the chapter there. And when he starts contemplating on the determination of Prahlad Maharaj, he starts thinking of the whole pastime of Prahlad Maharaj. That how Prahlad Maharaj was able to tolerate all the anxieties, all the obstacles that were put in front of them put in front of him by Hiranyakashipu, not just because it's an external aspect, because the Lord is reciprocating within his heart. When Prahlad Maharaj is being thrown from the hill he's seeing the ground as his mother. When he's being thrown in the ocean, he's seeing him as his maternal uncle. Alright? He's seeing him as his uncle. When the poison has been given, he's seeing the poison as his maternal uncle because the poison has come out from the Samudra Manthan. Alright? And Lakshmi Devi has also come out from there. So Lakshmi Devi is, or Bhudevi is an aspect of her, is the mother as Bhumi Devi, and poison becomes the brother. Right? And when he's actually looking at the pillar, it's described, he actually can see Narsimhadev there. When he's being thrown in the ocean, he can actually see Narsimhadev appearing as Vara Narsimha. This is the past time that happens in Siachalam. So actually the Lord is reciprocating within his heart. So this determination is not something external. Yes, it's determination as a quality, but it's all the qualities actually fully blossom when one takes to the devotional service of the Lord. And why? Because the Lord starts reciprocating with the devotee. And this is what is exactly happening to Bali Maharaj here. Now that he has already given up sense gratification in the form of mama, that is mine, all the belongings that were there, he has given up whatever belonged to him. All the three roads belong to him. Now he is ready to give up his aham. Right? He's saying, no, my dear Lord, now that you have bound me by the ropes, I understand that you have accepted me as your own. Because you can only punish those who are actually your own. We can see this appreciation of this dealing between Sanatana Goswami and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts chastising Jagdanand Pandit for actually instructing Sanatana Goswami and starts glorifying Sanatana Goswami, Sanatana Goswami says, my dear Lord, you are giving me the poison of glorification and the nectar of chastisement to Jagdanand Pandit. Now I understand that you have accepted Jagdanand Pandit as your own, but I am just your external devotee. So this is how Bali Maharaj is actually perceiving. You have chastised me. That means you have accepted me as your person. That is why you have chastised me. And I am now ready to give myself up also to keep my promise. Why this aspect of because he's confused. He has given up everything. What is else there to give? He's in a quandary. He's bewildered. Everything has been given. What can I give? There's nothing to give. So if I don't give, I will fail in my promise. But the hope is not given, because when he sees the Lord is bound, immediately this emotion arises in his heart. Oh, the Lord has accepted me. And because the Lord has accepted me, the Lord himself has promised, na mai bhakti pranishyati. For whom I have accepted, for who is my devotee, his promise can never go in vain. I can forego my promise, but his promise can never go. So definitely, my promise will not go in vain. And soon as this hope comes in the heart of Bali Maharaj, immediately the Lord gives him this intelligence. Give yourself. Because I myself have explained in the Bhagavad Gita. What I explained? That this body is also like Kshetra. Alright? In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord is saying the body is Kshetra. Right? So give this body to mine. And definitely, who is the possessor of all wealth is greater than what he possesses. So here, Bali Maharaj gives up his sense gratification to the complete. First by giving what belongs to him, and then by giving himself up. Yeah. So this is how the Vaishnava Acharya is actually bringing out the Rasa Tattva aspect in all the pastimes that are taking place in this Bhagavad. And this is what actually the Lord is trying to subtly imply or indicate, that one can take to this process of devotional service by completely giving up this attachment to sense gratification. And only those who are attached to sense gratification cannot achieve this goal of pure devotional service. Hare Krishna. Shri Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.